Well, good evening, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our meeting tonight by singing together a hymn in the wee order of service. That's a wonderful word of testimony, a wonderful hymn of hope as well for the believer. The hymn writer says, "When this passing world is done, and when is sunk yon radiant sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe." We'll keep our seats while we sing as the organist leads us in our praise, please. Meeting tonight to the Lord, praying for the Lord's help and that we may know a very special and real sense of the presence of the Lord with us this evening. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we come, O God, before Thee tonight and we praise Thee and we thank thee, O God, for thy goodness and mercy and grace toward us. And Father, we thank thee for thy mercy. It finds us here tonight in the house of the Lord, in the place of prayer. And O God, we come to thee in no merit of our own, but we come to thee through Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, the one who is our all in all, the one who died an atoning death for us upon the cross and paid the price of our redemption in full when he cried out on the cross, "It is finished." Father, we thank thee that he offered a once for all sacrifice for our sins. We praise thee, O God, tonight, and we thank thee for this precious blood that cleanseth us from all sin. We thank thee tonight, Lord, as thy people, we can rejoice in the forgiveness of sins. How David could say, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hast thou removed our transgressions from us." We realize, O God, that there was nothing that we could do or man could do that could deal with our sins. But, O God, we thank thee that Christ has provided that remedy, that he has opened up that fountain for sin and for all uncleanness. And, Father, we thank that that remedy is at Calvary's cross. Father, we thank thee for all the riches of thy grace that thou dost give to us through Christ. And we thank thee, O God, that we can rejoice in the grace of God that is sufficient for our every need, whatever that need in life might be. And Father, we thank thee that the best is yet to be for the people of God. We rejoice, O God, in the great hope of eternal life, the great hope of heaven. And even as the hymn writer was saying tonight, we look forward to that day, O God, when we shall see thee as thy people with that unsinning heart, that perfect likeness even unto Christ. For thy word declares that we shall be like him and we shall see him as he is. Father, we thank thee for thy mercies to us since we last met together in this fashion, for watching over us day by day in our going out and our coming in, and ordering our steps and enabling us here to gather tonight in freedom and in liberty with the saints of God around thy word. O God, we just look to thee this night for thy blessing upon this prayer meeting. Father, cleanse our hearts afresh in the precious blood of our Savior. Create within us a clean heart. Renew, Lord, within us a right spirit. Prepare our hearts for thy word, O God. And may thy word fall, that seed fall on good ground tonight that is prepared of God and prepared of the Holy Ghost. Thou said the preparations of the heart, they belong unto the Lord. And Lord, give us grace not only to hear thy word, but Lord, give us grace to do thy word, to live out thy word in our lives day by day. We thank thee that we have a more sure word of prophecy, that we have a light that shines in this dark world, and it is the light of thy word and the light of thy truth. Bless us also, Lord, as we come to pray. We thank thee for answers to prayer, even since we've last met together here in this fashion. And we rejoice, Lord, that thou art a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast said in thy word that thine eye is upon the righteous and that thine ear is open unto their prayers. Help us tonight to pray. Help us to pray in faith. Help us to ask large petitions, O God, of thee. For, Father, we thank thee that thou art able. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And Lord, thou hast said in thy word Lord, thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We thank thee for all being able to gather with us tonight. Bless every head bowed before thee. Bless every family represented. Remember also those who would listen in online, whoever they are, wherever they might be. Lord, grant your blessing to be upon them. We pray for others at this time, away on holiday. May they know that refreshing physically and spiritually, meet their needs and encourage them. Pray for others that cannot gather because of age or sickness or infirmity. Lord, meet their every need as well and encourage them and bless them in the ways of the Lord. Again, Lord, we pray for every faithful witness tonight for thee across our land. Bless other prayer meetings such as this, we pray. Remember gospel missions and ministry meetings on at this time, Bible camps, Lord, amongst the boys and girls, and wherever thy word is faithfully sounded forth, own it, bless it, and use it, O God. We thank thee that
Thou art the God of revival. And Lord, you have said in thy word that if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will heal their land, and will forgive their sin. And Lord, we're praying for revival in our land and in our nation. We're asking, O God, that that might even begin in our midst as thy people tonight. Lord, revive us afresh as thy people, Lord, and quicken us. The psalmist could say, quicken us, and we shall call upon thy name. May we know that quickening power of God the Holy Ghost coming upon us and moving amongst us tonight. And Lord, we pray that that tide of blessing would rise and spread across our land. Again, we thank thee for the services last Lord's Day, for all who heard thy word morning and evening. And Lord, especially for those that were unsaved, do speak on to their hearts, we pray. And Lord, disturb that sleep of death within their soul. And Lord, awaken them, Lord, to flee from the wrath to come. And Father, we pray that soon we'll see them saved and gathering with us even here in the place of prayer, we ask. Abide with us. Do us much good tonight. Lord, glorify thy name in all that will be said and done. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. We're going to turn tonight, please, in God's word to the Old Testament book of the Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon chapter 2. I want to read some verses from that chapter, and then we're turning back to Psalm 23. I want to read just one verse there. That's the verse number 5. So reading, first of all, from Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 1 down to the end of verse 7, and then turning back, please, to Psalm 23, and the verse number 5. And while you're looking it up, we want to welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's name. It's good to see so many gathered with us this evening. We pray the Lord will bless you. Welcome those listening online as well. Do remember the services over the weekend. Pray much for them. Remember the mission commencing on Friday night at the Farmer's Mart car park, the three-night drive-in mission. And that's Friday night, 8 o'clock. The Reverend John Morrow will be with us. Brother Mr. James Gailey will be along to sing on Friday night. Reverend Morrow will be again along on Saturday night at 8, and then the concluding meeting on the Lord's Day evening at 7. Be much in prayer for these meetings. Do give out the wee invites and do all you can to attend and invite and encourage others along under the sound of God's word. Pray that the car park would be filled night by night and that God would bless and visit even with his salvation at this time of special endeavor. The morning Lord's Day service at 12 noon, I belong to bring God's word in the will of the Lord. Song of Solomon, chapter number 2, the verse number 1. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this evening. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so was my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. And then turning back to Psalm 23, and just one verse, the verse number 5 of the psalm. Psalm 23, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and our prayers the Lord will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. So here in verse 5 of Psalm 23, we see how David turns from the metaphor, if you like, from the picture of the shepherd and the sheep. Turning from that picture, he turns to the metaphor, if you like, to the picture of one sitting at a banquet.
And my banquet is a place where a person finds entertainment. It's a place where they find enjoyment. It's a place where they find enrichment and satisfaction. And the reason why David uses this picture of a banquet is because no one illustration is really sufficient to depict the believer's relationship with the Lord. You see, such are the blessings of salvation upon the Christian that many pictures are needed to highlight those blessings in the Scriptures. And here in verse 5, David is addressing the Lord, and he says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." And by the picture here, yes, is of one sitting at a banquet. The scene is one of happiness, contentment, peace, satisfaction. That's what he's depicting here in the believer's life. And tonight, as we would consider here the believer's banquet of salvation, there are five blessings in particular that I want us to note just in our Bible study this evening. You'll notice, first of all, here with me, the blessing of provision. Look again at how David begins, verse 5. He says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." And here David tells us how the Lord provides, and he provides for his people even when they are surrounded, he says here, by enemies. Even when they are surrounded here by difficulties, he says to the Lord, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Why, this was so with Israel. Whenever they traveled through the wilderness with all the enemies and the attacks upon them as they traveled through the wilderness for 40 years. Turn with me over to Psalm number 78, Psalm 78. And just look with me at what is said in verse 19 and then verse 20 and verse 24 and verse 25 of the Psalm. Psalm 78, verse 19. It says, "Yea, they speak against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" The question is asked there in Psalm 78, verse 19, can God furnish a table? Can God provide in the wilderness? Look at verse 20, it says of the Lord, and this is his dealings with Israel in the wilderness when they were surrounded by many enemies. It says, "Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people?" Verse 24. "And he rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them," notice it, "meat to the full." There you see how God, the Lord, provided for his people, a great, vast multitude of his people, as they traveled through the wilderness from the land of Egypt to the promised land, even when they were surrounded by difficulties and when they had many foes and many enemies to face. And believer, the lesson for us is this, Christian, no matter how difficult life circumstances may be, yet yes, as a believer, you may have to face the enemy of reproach. You may face the enemy of slander. Or you may have to deal with the enemy of sickness, of loss, of poverty. Well, Christian, in all these situations, God can provide your every need temporally, your every need physically, your every need spiritually. The Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The hymn writer could say, "All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Now, speaking of the believer, the child of God, the book of Isaiah says, "Bread shall be given him, and his waters shall be sure." Yes, we see here, dear people, the blessing of provision in the believer's banquet. But not only is there the blessing of provision, notice secondly here, there is the blessing of fellowship. Look again at what David says in verse 5 there of Psalm 23. He says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Notice there how David makes mention of a table. And when we think of a table, we think, yes, of people
sitting around a table for a meal. And we, when we think of that and when we see that, we think of fellowship. We think of friendship as people gather together around the table for a meal and for provision. And here, David is really testifying of how he knew sweet fellowship with the Lord. Even when he was surrounded by enemies and foes and difficulties, he knew sweet fellowship with his Savior, his Redeemer. And again, that was the portion of Joseph. Think of Joseph when he was a prisoner down in Egypt. What does the Bible say twice over in Genesis chapter 39? It says this, the Lord was with Joseph. He knew the Lord's nearness. He knew sweet fellowship with the Lord, even when he was in a prison cell down in the land of Egypt. Again, you think tonight of the three Hebrew children when they were cast into the fiery furnace in the midst of that flaming furnace. What did they know? What did they experience? They experienced the presence of the Lord. They knew fellowship with the Lord. The Lord was with them. Turn with me in your Bible over to Daniel chapter 3, and you'll see that for yourself. Daniel chapter 3 and the verse number 25. Here is old King Nebuchadnezzar speaking of what he saw as he looked into the fiery furnace. And he had cast the three Hebrew children into the furnace. But look at what he saw. Look at what he testified of. Daniel chapter 3 verse 25, and he says, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The Lord was with them in the fire. And they were surrounded by foes and enemies. They knew fellowship, sweet fellowship with the Lord. And dear Christian in the meeting tonight, can I say this is your blessed portion as a believer, as a Christian as well. Yes, in this life. Believer, when you perhaps feel overwhelmed, maybe by trouble, when you're in distress, surrounded by enemies of one particular kind or another, the Lord will be near you as his child. He says, I will be with thee. He says, I will not fail thee. My highlighting that very same truth and really speaking of what the Lord says to his people, the hymn writer put it well when they penned these words and said, fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand. Why did the hymn writer pen those words? Because they themselves had known sweet fellowship with the Lord in the time of trouble. The blessing of provision, the blessing of fellowship. Notice something else here from Psalm 23, verse 5. There's also the blessing of foreknowledge. The blessing of foreknowledge. Look again at what David says there in verse 5 to the Lord. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Notice there how David uses the word preparest. That's important. Here he tells us how the Lord had prepared for him. Why? Because the Lord knew his need. The Lord knew his circumstance. The Lord knew his predicament. And this really speaks of the foreknowledge of the Lord, how the Lord had already considered David's need. Thus he prepared a table for him now in the presence of his enemies. And my, that reminds us of the great truth of the Lord knows all about us, the foreknowledge of the Lord. Believer, can I say to you tonight, the Lord knows all about you tonight. He knows every hill that you have to climb in life. He knows every valley that you may have to descend into in life. He knows every foe that you may have to face in life as a Christian. Think of what the Lord said to the church at Smyrna. He says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. He knew their care, their trouble, their predicament. He knew all about them. Christian, can I say to you tonight, in knowing about your need, the Lord is preparing and providing for you as a Christian, as his child, even long before that need arises and comes to the fore, even in your own life's experience. In the book of Isaiah, the Lord is speaking to his people
in Isaiah 65, verse 14, and this is what it says. It says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer." Oh, the knowledge of the Lord, the foreknowledge of the Lord, He knows all about us. The blessing of foreknowledge, the blessing of provision, the blessing of fellowship. Notice something else here from Psalm 23, verse 5. Notice the blessing of endowment. As David talks about the Lord in a verse, notice what he says further on down the verse to the Lord. He says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." And with these words, David here is speaking of the endowment of the Holy Spirit in his life as a believer. And can I say this is the blood-bought portion of every Christian, of every redeemed child of God. You remember what John says to God's people in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. He says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." And when he talks there about that unction that belongs to the people of God, he's talking there about the endowment, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer and in the life of every child of God. Turn with me, please, over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, the fourth chapter of the book of the Acts. Look with me, please, at verse 10, verse 11, and verse 12. And here you have Peter the apostle boldly witnessing for Christ. Bear in mind the background here. He's surrounded by foes of the gospel, Jews who had no time for the gospel whatsoever. But look at his bold witness for Christ in verse 10, 11, and 12 of Acts chapter 4. He says, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There Peter is boldly confessing Christ before Jews who hated Christ, who crucified Christ, who hated the gospel. And bear in mind, people, this was the same Peter whom a few chapters earlier in the Gospels denied his Savior for fear of what the crowd would say. Even before a little servant girl, he denied the Lord. And what made the difference? Well, you find the answer to that question in verse 8 of Acts chapter 4. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them," and he went on to speak to them mightily and powerfully of Christ. He knew the endowment, the empowering of God, the Holy Spirit, in his life, and that made all the difference. Believer, can I say tonight, yes, the day you and I were saved, the Holy Spirit came into our hearts. As the Bible says, we were born again of the Holy Spirit. And Christian, it is by being filled with the Holy Spirit that you can live the Christian life, that you can witness for God, witness for your Savior, even in the most difficult and trying of circumstances, even when you may be surrounded by foes and enemies and those who have no time for the gospel or the things of God. In the midst of those circumstances, through the power of the Spirit, you can boldly witness for Christ and confess Christ. And the command of the Word of God to you and I who are saved in Ephesians 5, verse 18 is, "Be filled with the Spirit of God." And day by day we should pray daily, that we might be filled with the Spirit of God and with the power of God. The infilling of the Spirit of God is not a one-off blessing. It's a blessing we are to seek for continually, day and daily in our life as Christians, as the people of God. But notice, finally here tonight, from our text in Psalm 23 and the verse number 5, notice that there is the blessing of satisfaction. Look at what David says in the very last statement there of verse number 5 of Psalm 23. He says, "My cup runneth over." Here he speaks of satisfaction in his life. And by the blessing of knowing the Lord, what does it lead to in the life? It leads to satisfaction. It leads to contentment. It leads to a life well lived. It leads to a life that is fulfilled. It leads to the fulfillment of life till its fullest potential.
Again, speaking of the Lord in another psalm, the psalmist says of the Lord, He satisfieth the longing soul, He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The hymn writer could say, now none but Christ can satisfy. Another name for me, there's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee. They found contentment, fulfillment, joy, satisfaction in the Lord. And brethren and sisters in Christ, there is no satisfaction for us as Christians in the world. There is no satisfaction for us as Christians in sin and the things that are contrary to God by the pleasures of this world and of sin. They're only for a season. And by the end of things, such things lead to heartbreak, lead to tears, lead to ruin, lead to bitterness in life. But in the Lord, we have a portion that truly satisfies. You turn over to that portion we read earlier there to the Song of Solomon and the chapter number 2, Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. And just look at what the spouse says here. And it's really a picture of the believer and their relationship with the Lord and the blessings that they find in the Lord. And we see here great contentment, great fulfillment, great satisfaction in the Lord. Look at what the spouse says there in verse number 3. She says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved. And when she speaks of her beloved there, she's speaking of Christ, her Savior. She says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Think of the blessing of sitting under a shadow of a tree. Last week in the sun, it was nice just to sit down under the shadow, the shade of a tree. There was blessing there out of the heat of the sun. And here the spouse speaks of the Lord and says, I sat down under his shadow, the Lord's shadow, nearness to the Lord, fellowship with the Lord, succor in the Lord. And she says, it was with great delight. She says of her Savior, of her beloved, his fruit was sweet to my taste. The word of the Lord was sweet to our soul, sweet to our heart. He brought me to the banqueting house. The same picture really is what David uses in our text tonight. A place of provision, of fullness, where needs are supplied. And his banner over me was love. Now she's taken up here with the love of Christ toward her soul. And she goes on down and says there in verse number 6, his left hand was under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Oh, the Lord upheld her. The Lord sustained her. The Lord strengthened her. The Lord supported her. She knew the blessing of joy, fullness, satisfaction that is found in the Lord. She says, he hath brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. And Christian, that's our testimony tonight. That's what you and I truly can say of the Lord. He has brought us into his banqueting house, and his banner over us is love. Christian, think of what our life would be like tonight if the Lord had left us to our sin. Where would we be? What would our life be like? Yet God in his mercy has brought us into his banqueting house in love and grace. What a portion we have in Christ, a blessed portion, a goodly portion. We're told that Mary chose that good portion in Christ. Paul, speaking of the Lord, said this, Christ is all and in all. He was everything to Paul that he needed in life as a believer. Christ says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. What satisfaction there is in Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. You look out across our world tonight. Look at the ungodly, look at the unsaved. What do you see? You see discontentment. You see dissatisfaction. People are not happy, not content. No peace, no hope. But what a hope we have in Christ. What peace we have in Christ. What blessings we have in Christ. And it's by you and I, yes, being satisfied in the Lord that we in turn then can be a blessing by our witness even to others in life around us. You think of Moses tonight, think of David.
Think of Paul. They were a great blessing to others in their day and generation. Why? Because they were contented in the Lord. And likewise, believer, it will be the same for you and I also when we live for the Lord and depend upon Him as our all in all. The Lord will bless us and He'll make us a blessing by our witness, even to others. The Bible says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Yes, let us be those who rest in the Lord. Let us pray that the Lord would make us a channel of blessing, that by our life and by our testimony, others would see something different in our lives, that we belong to the Lord, and they would want what we have in Christ our Savior, our Redeemer. May the Lord bless His word and these few remarks just to our hearts and to our souls this evening. May it be an encouragement to us in our Christian life. We'll get down to our season of prayer. There are some prayer requests. Just want to highlight before you do, please pray, as we've already mentioned, for the mission. Pray for the Reverend Morrow, that he'll know help from God. He'll come with God's message night by night. Remember those that sing as well. Just pray that the car park would be filled. There's an advert going in to the paper this week regarding it, and a little message surrounding the mission. Pray for that as people would read it, that their hearts' chords would be struck and that they'd want to come. Pray that the Lord would visit that gathering with salvation night by night. Pray for favorable weather, and the Lord would just undertake for all the practical details. Remember also, please, the Bible clubs that we mentioned last Lord's Day in McGuire's Bridge. Next week, be much in prayer for that the children would come in. Pray for Gillian and all who will take part, that each one will know the help of the Lord and the Lord will meet every practical need. And again, later on in August for Lisbalaw as well, in the third week of August, be much in prayer for that as well, that the children will gather. And pray for the church here, for new and young families to be added. Remember Brother Colin as well. He's been able to take up the outreach again in the south in recent times. Pray for him, that God's blessing will be upon him as he seeks to witness and speak to others one by one in different places in the south of Ireland. Remember the sick and the elderly in our congregation who need our prayers. Do remember Sister Mrs. Miriam Cuthbertson. She's been in hospital last week, is home now improving, but do remember her in her prayers, that you know God's touch and healing. Last week we asked you to pray for Mrs. Scott's daughter-in-law over in Scotland, and we thank the Lord that the Lord has answered prayer there and she's known a touch from the Lord. She's home again and improving, and this surely should encourage us to pray and to seek the Lord, to remember that and give thanks to the Lord for that. And remember our missionaries as well at home and abroad. Pray for them, God's blessing upon them. Maybe also you could remember the Miller family, Stephen Miller and his wife, as they go now soon in September to take up the work in Tavistock down in Devon, and the Smiths as well, as they labour there in Murford Tidville in South Wales. These are just some things, but we don't want to tie you to these things, but encourage as many as possible to pray. Men and women alike, young and old alike, let us pour out our hearts before the Lord in the time that the Lord gives us tonight, and that the Lord would come down with power and blessing in our prayer meeting in this season of prayer. We'll just seek the Lord and we'll look to the Lord for His blessing. Remember, we'll ask our brother Ian and our brother Keith to lead us off in prayer.